CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Can you hear me properly then, Bulelo?
Loud and clear, Gary.
Good?
Yeah.
Ah, excellent. Okay, I was just worried there was a problem there. There is a problem. I mean, Leanne's not awake, but that's not the end of the world. We're used to that. She'll be up in a moment.
What a life.
I know. And, you know, you've got to remember, like, this is not unusual behavior for her, because I've worked with her for so long that I knew her when she was at her drinkiest. And in those days, she used to hit the bottle hard. Like, she would go out and she would like walk into the studio at 6:05 in the morning, and I'd be doing the news because that was her job. So it used to happen. Anyway, it's Friday. We've made it to the end of the week. Congratulations, the 21st of January. There's lots to get into this morning. We got some guests popping in. We've got quite a lot of fun on the way. So get ready. It's going to be awesome this morning. Very, very cool.
Yeah. I think I just want some feedback quickly, checking with Simpiwe if we are going out on the app. All right. No, it's all good, because we weren't getting sound, but we're all good. Okay. So, Gareth, it looks like you're on an idyllic island there, I must tell you. Like that sunshine, it's perfect right now.
It's this like dappled light, but I'm trying just to keep the kind of balance of light a little bit better than yesterday. But I kept the setup the same, and somehow, like, I didn't hear everything the same this morning, so I'm not surprised if something's changed. Anyway, no idyllic island, but I went out in Cape Town last night with some friends, and it started off like, oh, you know, we'll just have one or two drinks and it'll be very civilized. Yeah, it ended up being a monster. That's why I was thinking of Leanne this morning. I'm like, in the old days, she would have been the one. But, you know, they say work hard, play hard, right?
They do say that.
You can't do just one. So that's exactly what I did. Anyway, looks like some of us made it, according to Thomas. Okay, so good work there, Thomas. Yeah, some of us did make it. That's what he says in the comments. Carl just letting us know you can hear us perfectly on the app. Thank you, Carl. Do you still read messages from the Cliff Central WhatsApp, says Ruv1. No, not really. I mostly ignore those people. Why, have you been messaging me for the last 3 years and I haven't been paying attention? Sorry. Ha ha, says Nico. Gareth is hanging like a fruit bat, putting on a good face. Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time, though. There we go. Drink smarter, not harder, says Tracy. All right, okay, all of you just hold your horses. We'll make it through the morning. Don't panic. I actually have a busy day today. I went through to Constantia yesterday morning after the show, and I met a bunch of people from an amazing investment company. They invest in listed property both in South Africa and overseas, and a really, really smart group of people. It kind of gave them a bit of an insight into the kind of stuff we discuss on shows like The Burning Platform, for example, and had a really good talk to them for about an hour, maybe hour and a half. And Jesus, some beautiful houses up there. Oh my God. Wow.
That's another level.
Place. I mean, like, if you've got lots of money, like that's the place to live. It's not, you know, it's not in, yeah, Clifton or Fresnay, although those places are beautiful in their own way too. But like, there's something old money about the southern suburbs of Cape Town, and it's totally unpretentious, but it's big.
Yeah.
You know, the gardens are huge. Everything is immaculately manicured. You've got lots of space. You've got these big houses. It's like lots of bedrooms and lots of big reception rooms. I'm pretty sure that the house that we were in was at one point an embassy, because there's no way it could have been like just someone's little house. Maybe at one stage it was, when it was an original house, but it was built on. I mean, wooden floors and huge big doors that open up in every room. So it's kind of, it's just, you know, enormous.
That's where you want to be.
Wow.
That's where you want to be.
Like big money.
Bishop's Court. You maybe want to start Bishop's Court and move that way. Like Constantia out there, the Winelands. That's what money's for. I mean, that's another level, though. That's not.
Yeah, it is.
That's not. It's very hard to marry into that money as well. Like, it's hard if you didn't go to Bishop's to meet the daughter of the guy who owns that house. You know what I mean? Some people are doing it right. Let me just tell you, some people are doing it right. I do love that part of the world. So, you know what I love in anything I can't tell you what I do to pay for cleanliness. Oh my gosh. Those areas are so manicured. Like, yes. I love how clean the, like, Constantia is so clean. I'm sure when you went through there, it's just like, it's like being in Singapore.
It's perfect. It's just perfect. I mean, like, there are also these little, little parks almost. You know, every couple of streets up, there's a park, and they're also beautifully looked after. I can't imagine it's the municipality, although Cape Town's run better than any other city in South Africa. I think it's probably the neighborhood themselves who, you know, pay some people to come and do it because it looks too good to be true.
100%.
So, inside info from Pioneer Food, sadly, fish paste will no longer be available. If you like that stuff, that's what Wendy says this morning. Well, I've never liked fish paste, so I'm not going to give that a single second more of my time. It's disgusting. So I think they're talking about Redro and what's the other one?
Terrible. They're all terrible. They're all one brand. It's called Terrible.
Those anchovy paste.
Oh, it's gross.
Right?
Oh.
Now, let me just see, because they canceled two of them or decided they're not making any more of them. That's it. Pex Anchovette and Redro. So both of those canceled. And a good thing it is. Yeah. They're not going to make them anymore.
Obviously,
people eventually decided that's not really food that's acceptable for humans, so they've canned them both.
Quite right. It's just the thought of it.
Here, listen to this. Tracy says, I once photographed a 65 million rand house on the top of Signal Hill, overlooks the entire city, and a single guy lives there. Jesus, can you imagine? 65 million. Here's the problem, right? And we've asked this question before, but years ago, like, what is the difference between a 10 million rand house, which has got everything you could possibly imagine in it, and a 60 or 100 million rand house? I was actually talking to someone yesterday who was about to sell an apartment for like 50 million rand in Clifton.
Mm.
Now, I need to know, apart from the view, which obviously you can't really put an amount of money on, what's the difference? Like, both will have, you know, indoor cinemas, and they'll have like a bunch of reception rooms. They'll have, you know, an indoor and an outdoor pool, for example. They might have, I don't know, space for you to park 10 cars or whatever. But how do you get from 10 to like 10 times 10? And where does the difference come in?
Who's my neighbor? Because locale is everything. It's all about access. No, I'm serious. I've worked this one out because I've seen some of the bullies. So I live in an area where one of the people who's been kind enough to take me on under his wing lives in a place called Sandhurst, right? And I've seen what vibe is. It's not about size of your house or whatever. Is who's got access to be able to buy around you, and that skyrockets the thing. It's almost not even about the location. Is who's got access to buy the land around you, from what I've seen. Because somebody I'm very close to lives in Bishop's Court as well. And I always thought, who can live here? And then, like, she'd tell me who lives around her. I was like, oh, I see how you bastards keep us out. So I genuinely believe that. I don't even think it's about the value of the house.
You're paying to keep the ordinary folk out.
The proletariat over there. And come on, X. Even if I hate you, as long as you're the CEO of Put Bank Here or whatever, if your dad was the CEO, you know what I mean? I don't think it's about so much about the functionality of the house, in my opinion. And more power to them.
Somebody says anchovy is Bon Jovi's sister. And Dad says, no, not the Wedwo. I call everything I love Wedwo. Don't I, Wedwo? Remember the dog was Wedwo. There was the ad for Redro.
Yeah.
So this is that message from Dudley. I just want to go to a picture that Dudley sent us, which is revolting. I actually forwarded this to you yesterday in Bulelo just to mess with you. So Dudley also sent me a picture of his feet on a flight. He goes barefoot on a flight. Yeah. Didn't you get this in your email?
Oh, sorry, I didn't see it. I was TikToking last night, so I didn't have time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, You didn't miss anything good. You missed something horrible. I'm about to show you.
Oh, let's.
So he basically flies, and when he flies, he doesn't wear shoes, or else he takes them off on the plane or whatever. And I don't think he has particularly horrible feet, because there are people who have really, really disgusting, terrible feet. But I wouldn't like to see this. I wouldn't like to, you know, be sitting next to someone who does this with their feet. So here's a picture of what Dudley's feet look. You see there?
Wait.
This is to the bottom of the screen.
And the guy next to him has his shoes off as well.
Also.
They must know each other. No. They're both monsters. Oh, my God. That's not okay, guys. Oh, man.
That's not okay.
No, dude.
Absolutely not okay.
Right. What?
So he sent that especially for you. And he even had a little message for you too here. So he says, listening to Wednesday 19th of January podcast, here's a picture of my bare feet and the other guys next to me on a flight from Perth to Broome. Bulela will be horrified. Enjoy my old home city. Cheers, Duds. Yeah, Jesus.
You were right.
Horrible. But that's what happens in Australia, you see?
Yeah, bunch of convicts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. All right, so a couple of things we're going to get into this morning. Hopefully, we're going to be joined by Leanne Moll shortly. I'm still in Cape Town and back on Sunday. And I made the terrible mistake yesterday of seeing some of the dangerous people I know in Cape Town. And by dangerous, I don't mean actually dangerous, just dangerous in terms of when you go out with them, you don't come back usually. And I had a really fun time. And my God, there are some absolutely beautiful women in Cape Town. I don't know where they go the rest of the year, but in the summer, they suddenly come out. The rest of the year, they might go, I don't know, to Pof Adder or Bethel or like Da'ar or wherever the hell else they live the rest of the time. But in the summer, they seem to come out in Cape Town, and there are a ton of them everywhere you look. And it's like a feast for the eyes. And I forgot about this because obviously during lockdown, I haven't traveled as much. Like, you know, your memory fades and you're like, it's nice in Cape Town in summer. But I suddenly remembered, good Lord, like people from all over the world come here to see the fine quality of South Africa's best looking women. And they all seem to come out of the woodwork and parade around in January and February of you know, every year. It seems that's when they are at their best. In December as well, obviously. But Jan and Feb, maybe it's because the modeling agencies
exactly.
are all busy doing their thing, or I don't know what it is, but it's something like that. And it's something we could be very proud of. It should be at the front of every tourist brochure for Cape Town.
If you're a single guy, if you're a single guy,
definitely,
you've got to be in Cape Town January, February of every year, because it's when the competition's at the highest. It's when the modeling agencies are here. And I worked on the film side of things. Remember, all the actresses and actors from Britain, America, all over the world are here as well. All the models are here, obviously. So now competition's at its highest. Yeah.
One of my mates said to me last night, there was a rumor that Margot Robbie was around. Now, I would have dropped everything. You wouldn't have seen me on the show this morning if I knew for a fact that she was going to be somewhere. I mean, I'd mortgage the house to, you know, buy the fancy drink that she might want, or, you know.
Have I not told you the story about Margot Robbie?
You've met her, right?
Yeah, I took her on a hike.
Jesus, I'd take her on a fucking hike.
Yeah, that Aussie accent, I can't look over it. I think I've told you before, that is, if you want to stop people reproducing, just play the Australian female accent on loop.
Dude.
I can't do it, but she is a beautiful lady. Good for her.
It comes from someone who looks like her. I'll trust me, I can overlook a lot of things.
You can.
I can overlook her being barefoot on a plane.
Oh,
an Aussie accent. Oh yeah, I could overlook and eating a jar of Red Row. I could overlook all of that stuff in the case of Margot Robbie. I think it would still be okay.
And good for her and good for Cape Town, because this is the time to be there. If you are in your sexual prime, I don't know why you're not in Cape Town every year, January, Feb. It's the place to be.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Anyway, Nico says Hilton and Bolito also have good places for pretty ladies. That's true.
I don't know about Hilton.
Hilton's a little village, and I did go to primary school there, so I can I can comment on, you know, at that stage, I was obviously very young, but I don't really know that Hilton itself is a good place.
It's all Bali's.
Balito, yeah. Yeah, it's mostly old people.
Yeah.
Ah, speaking of old people, here's Leanne Moll. Hello, Nass. How are you? Where have you been? What have you been doing?
I was just busy finding my Margie Robbie, whatever her name is.
Margie Robbie.
and finishing off my docks on toast, as my uncle would call them. If he descended down the stairs and he could smell someone was making toast with fish paste on them, or on the toast, he would go, "Docks on toast! Who's got docks on toast?"
So people, you used to eat that?
Oh, I love it. And in fact, look, the fish paste that we are talking about is not the greatest. Mm. But from a shop in the south of Joburg, called Rio Doro, or as my grand would call it, Rio de Oreo, you can get these little tubs, tiny, like one-use tubs, of Portuguese sardine paste. Oh my God, how amazing. Absolutely delicious. Yeah.
You can have it. What's the difference between a sardine and an anchovy? Are they different fish? I really don't know. I've never eaten either.
The sardine is probably about 450 times the size of an anchovy.
So they're not the same fish.
No.
One is just younger than, okay.
Both terrible though. Don't worry about it.
Compared to a Doberman.
Oh, okay. So it's a big fucking difference. I had no idea. No idea.
Yeah. A very big fucking difference.
Oh, wow. So hang on. I'm just going to find out, because you don't just leave story like this alone, even though we know Bulelo is prone to a lot of name dropping.
Mm.
So you took Margot Robbie on a hike.
Yeah. It was something I was doing. So I used to kind of look
just
off.
The two of you?
Yeah, just the two. Oh, but she's not the most famous person I've... she's not the most famous... she's not the most famous person I've taken on that kind of escapade, you know?
I don't care who's more famous. Margot fucking Robbie and you going up a mountain together.
Yeah,
what did you do? Do you talk at all, or you just...
No.
Careful of that rock.
We chatted, but, like, I'm not really into celebrities. Like, unless you play sport... I'm not really into, like...
It's not that she's a celebrity. I don't care about her fame. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, I know. She is. I can't deny that.
I'm interested in a celebrity.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, like more famous people. That's not why I'm interested.
She's super hot.
Super
Jesus.
Hot. But having said that, like, I don't mean to be funny. She's not my type of hot. I like athletic, and she looks like... Yeah. It's not my thing.
I'm sorry. Hold on a moment.
Mm.
She's not athletic. You were taking her on a hike. Was she slightly rounded in her, like, curvy in her feminine?
You know what actresses are? Is they're like page hot. Whereas I like athletes. It's like, oh, everything's where it's supposed to be. Whereas, a lot of actresses can get away with just their face. You know what I mean? Like with athletes, the toning is where it is.
Sorry, I'm just adjusting my tits because they're not where they're supposed to.
Well, sorry. What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Lower my standards of what I find attractive.
Your standards.
Just so everyone else is happy.
Margot Robbie, everybody, stop whatever you're doing. Bulelo's standards do not accommodate the hottest actress in Hollywood.
I didn't say Margot Robbie's not good looking. I didn't say that. I said she's not my type. I've got my type. It's that wasn't my thing. But she was very nice, like super,
Bulelo,
super cool.
I'm sorry, but with those standards, you're going to find very few women who find that you are their type.
No, that's why I hang around athletes, Leander. Listen, I already know where to look. Don't worry about it. We're doing okay. Just athletes. Just be an athlete. Don't worry about it.
I mean, I love you and everything.
I don't actually know what to say. I mean, this is the most stupid conversation ever. I've never had a conversation with anyone who's so blind they cannot see.
I didn't say she's not beautiful. There's no doubting that. There's a reason she's a blockbuster Hollywood person.
Just you should have stopped talking 8 sentences ago. You've ruined your your reputation,
your whole
and credibility.
Life. You've ruined your
everything.
Life.
I have no respect for you anymore. I used to have a little bit. No, none. You're a moron. That's what you are. You're an outright moron.
All right. Well, next time I see you.
You know what? There's one word.
Redile.
Finished. All right, let's move on. I agree. Let's move on. All right, so Annette says, oh, I just looked her up. She's gorgeous. Well, what, you've never seen Margot Robbie? What, have you not been watching a movie in the last 6 years, Annette? Wow.
Gareth, don't project your anger on Annette.
Yeah. You're angry at Margot Robbie, not Annette.
By athletic, Mbop, which is clearly your new name, means hungry looking with sun damage. Nico says she can't run 100 miles, so he's not interested. Shut up, Mbulelo says, Ongopotse. Thank you. Ongopotse is with me on this. I agree.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to fall madly in love with somebody who has 20% body fat and only runs 3 days a week.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's about personality, so you're probably right.
Nothing wrong with 20% body fat.
You're right. There is nothing wrong. Yeah.
Okay, Tracy says, Mbulelo, I totally get you. Brad Pitt is not my type. Yeah, exactly. She understands.
So you framed me now as some monster who doesn't realize that this lady was incredibly beautiful.
You have, it's almost like, you know, people who have body dysmorphia, so they think they're too thin or too fat, or they're constantly unhappy and disappointed with the way they look, and they have no concept of how they really look.
Yeah.
So they're out of touch with it. That's all. You have... Your eyes aren't working properly. It's almost like you need to hit them.
This is unbelievable.
Your optic nerve is disconnected from your brain or your eyes or both.
Unbelievable.
That's what I think. Yeah. Tembisa says, I get
you
it now.
You knew that Margot Robbie would be the end of
you. Oh, my God. That's the last time I want to do the show with you. Tembisa says, I get it now why Mbulelo is single. You have a type. I'm praying for you.
I do have it. In fact, a friend of mine has always said that's my problem. I can't translate this, but he says "ungabine type." It means like lower your standards. Stop having a type, because especially all my friends know what's unacceptable. They already know what's going to fly and what isn't. So Tembisa's dead right. Maybe it is.
Dude, you're gonna get the surprise of your life. When the woman that you fall in love with walks into your life.
Awesome.
Because she's not going to be that person. Or you're going to have a good round with somebody who's your type, but she's going to be like a chocolate fireplace.
A lot of people are asking a very straightforward question here then. So who do you find attractive, Mbulelo? Give us an example of someone who you think is absolutely magnificent.
So
stand up if you want to describe me properly.
Yeah. Well, because of HR reasons, I can't say you, Leanne. You know, we work together, so obviously.
Of course. But you'd normally say Leanne. You know,
yeah, no, because protocol. I like Lindsay Vonn, like famous skier. So skier, all time downhill skier.
But it's about what they do.
No, it's what she looks like. No, because skiers get... In fact, cross-country skiers have the best bodies in the world because they get the
okay.
Right. Without having to Google shit.
Yeah.
For instance, what would their stomachs look like?
Flat. We're looking six-pack. Yeah. We got to be toned, yeah. They're not negotiable.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
No, Lindsay Vonn, I can see. Like, she's a nice-looking woman.
Yeah.
Let me put a picture of her up. She's not bad. Give us another example. Carry on.
Oof, that's tough.
Oh, you're actually drooling there. You sounded a bit...
Here we go. There's Lindsay Vonn. Right, yeah. Nice. I get that. I don't know how you can compare that to Margot Robbie and think that you have good eyes, but okay.
Listen, if I put on a dress like that, I'd be close.
No. Nobody's disputing it.
Sure, of course. No one's going to give you any gears on that.
Nobody's ever disputed that. Yeah, I just like athletic.
No, I mean, the only reason we keep you on the show is it's complete eye candy. That's all.
It's for the sexual tension. The sexual tension.
Most of the time, we don't give a shit if you don't say anything for the whole 2 hours of the show. We got you there for other reasons. You're there for decorative purposes. You're like, you know those companies when they have like, they give the tea lady shares, you know?
Yes.
And so they can be EE compliant. We get you on the show so we could be visually compliant, because no one's going to watch the show for me. And, this is how we get our YouTube channel up.
Incredible scenes.
So Nico says to your girl, Lindsay Vonn, Nico says, no, man, she's got a jaw bigger than Tarzan's.
Yes, listen, that's like an, is she American? Because that's an American girl thing.
Yeah. So also, I just want to tell you, like the American side of her is would be something I have to put up with. I'm more into the Scandinavian vibe. Yeah. It's more my thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like that look.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You can talk about her until you're blue in the face. I'm gonna put up a picture of Margot Robbie, and then you tell me
Margot Robbie.
You can be objective about this. Yeah. I know you've had a couple of lesbian experiences, but it's not usually your thing. So you come at this from an objective point of view, mm-hmm. right? You're not gonna say, you know, so all right, so here's Lindsay Vonn, right? You had a look at her, mm-hmm. right? Drink it in. Big proper big jaw. Right, yeah, all that stuff.
Bite your cock off.
You think she looks a bit hungry? Is that the thing?
All right. No, it's just the jaw.
It's just the jaw. All right. And then let me find the picture of Margot Robbie quickly, and you can have a look at that, because it's not even close, in my opinion. So there's big jaw Lindsay Vonn, right? And again, I don't care if we have different tastes. It suits me, actually. But I think objectively there's a huge difference. Your Lindsay Vonn could never be a movie star. Look at this girl. Mm.
Oh,
Jesus.
So pretty.
She looks like
Jesus.
Who's the American girl? Now that you put her face up, back in the day.
Careful now.
I forget. Jamie something. Do you remember her back in the day?
Who?
Oh yeah, she's still in a show called Mother, Southern Woman.
Yeah, that's
tiny.
Yeah.
She
looks like her.
Who are you talking about?
It'll come back to me. It'll get. Anyway, she looks like her. Yeah. Hey, good.
Jamie Presley, thank you.
Jamie Presley. Jamie Lee Curtis. No, it's not her.
Oh, Jamie Presley. Yeah, yeah.
Jamie Presley.
I liked her as well. Yeah, Jamie Presley. She was hot. I remember her. I know who you're talking about.
She's right. In a show. Called Mom. That's the name of the show. Mom. You wouldn't say she's hot now. She's kind of grown into her age.
Oh.
She's sporting a very sleek short bob. She's still beautiful, but I know your guys' standards.
She's lovely, but I do. I totally get the Margot Robbie comparison.
Yeah.
And she's got the same like facial structure and everything else. Jamie Presley's hot. No, I got you.
So
let me put a picture of her up as well. While we're doing this, I could play this game all day.
No,
pictures of beautiful women up and us evaluating them. We could do this every morning on the show and I would never run out of steam. So here's Jamie Presley. So you can see that. I'll compare her side by side. Side by side, Jamie Presley and Marco Lobby. Okay, here we go. So here's Jamie Presley. Look at her. Very similar.
Yeah, very, very similar.
Right?
Yeah.
There's Margot. Absolutely. Very similar. Look.
Basically, they're Barbie heads that you could put onto a Barbie doll.
Shut up, you.
To change them. No, I mean that in the hugest form of compliment. Because okay, I grew up thinking Barbie was it. Oh, Jesus. WTF, Garrett. Don't spring that up on us.
That was all.
What the hell?
That's hilarious. All right, so I just put up, for people who are listening on the podcast, let me explain what happened. I just put a picture of a... a very ugly woman who is one of those people who has modified her face. She looks like a vampire. All right, so in between all these pictures,
rings forming like stitching on her face,
okay,
and she's got underskin horns.
So she's got a split tongue, titanium horns, tattoos, and vampire teeth. I mean, she really looks horrendous. She's got those big earrings that make the bottom of your earlobe extremely big as well. the bottom of your ear, your earlobe. And then she's just full of like body modifications and tattoos and eye makeup. And she looks terrifying. Her name is Maria Jose Cristerna.
Wow.
That's her name. And she went to extreme lengths to show
in another life with that name.
Oh, she's, do you want to see more of her? Because wow, quite something, hey?
Indeed. Wow.
Look at that.
Wow.
Terrifying monstrosity of a human being. That came out of the shadows on a dark night. If I walked home from wherever I was in Cape Town last night, which I wouldn't do, you know, the last time I tried to do that at whatever time in the morning, I had a phone jacked off of me at knife point.
Yeah.
But if, I'd rather have that happen 8 times than walk into this by mistake. If this woman, and I use the term woman loosely, if she came out of the shadows on a you know, big night out, I would run with shit dribbling down the back of my fucking thighs.
Those forehead lumps, I mean, oh, they make me... They put a certain electric zing through my body where I think dangerous.
It's absolutely terrifying.
Unreal.
So, anyway, you want to know her story or do you not care? I'm tempted to say I don't care, but there might be people who are interested in this. So the story comes from, believe it or not, You magazine, which has always been my favorite place for like poor white information. So here we go. No, really, growing up, You magazine was essential reading if you wanted to see how poor whites saw the world, right? So yeah, they always start off with like she's always had some difficulty, right? That's why she looks like this. After leaving an abusive marriage, Maria Jose Cristerna went to extreme lengths to show her strength, courage, and liberation. Is that what it is, huh? That's what it is. Her strength, courage, and liberation. That's extreme. No, that's what you're going to do.
But she hasn't dealt with those demons. They're living inside her.
They're living in her head. Literally in her, under her skin, in the head.
I mean, I've been through some very difficult relationships, but I can still run my finger across my forehead and it's smooth.
Well, if you decided to do that to yourself, you would no longer be welcome as our eye candy on the show, Leah.
I would ruin this absolute 10 out of 10 beauty.
Look, it was funnier when I went from Margot Robbie and Jamie Presley straight to her, because in a way it kind of illustrates how different strokes for different folks. I mean, there must be some person who loves this woman despite what she's done to herself, and she probably loves the way she looks.
I don't think she wants to be loved, and especially not by a man.
Okay, after what so here it is. Through. She's 45 years old. She's popularly known as the vampire woman. She prefers the jaguar woman. She holds the Guinness World Record for the most body modifications. She has 49 modifications in total, including fanged teeth, a range of transdermal implants on her forehead, chest, and arms, as well as multiple piercings in her eyebrows, nose, tongue, earlobes, belly button, and nipples, and a split tongue and titanium horns on her head. Mm-hmm. She explained, "The horns I have are a symbol of actually." She can't probably talk because of his modification.
Split tongue.
Yeah. Imagine trying to order something on the phone or like getting your Siri to respond to you if you have a split tongue. It must be absolutely impossible.
Wow.
So she says,
"You can hear her walking into a room though, because she's like."
Oh my god! Let me tell you, I jumped through this window and down 8 stories. Onto the fucking ground below, and I'd probably break every bone in my body rather than be in the same room as this woman. So she said, "I had the fangs done because I loved vampires as a little girl, and I changed the color of my eyes so they were how I really wanted them to be." You talk about body dysmorphia. Her implants were done without the use of anesthetics, and she sees them as a symbol of courage after surviving domestic violence during her marriage. Honey, there are better ways. Go to therapy.
Again.
We should have hooked her up with Dr. Hanan, right?
I mean,
that would have been a better way for her to do this.
Dr. Pushkin. So she much less pain.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Horrible. Anyway, I'm supposed to be going back to sleep at 4:30 a.m., but you're making me laugh instead, says Cindy. Cindy's up early. All right, well, sorry. That's kind of what we do here. Corona's Boring said, how does an implant in your head make you trance? My genitals are nowhere near there. Well, She's trans species, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, wow. She said she's gained fame because of her appearance, but acceptance didn't always come easy. Oh, you don't say. I'm always blown away by people who do this to themselves, or they have like a face tattoo, and then they wonder why they don't get auditioned for the job of like CEO of a bank.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Gareth, I don't think that's what she's going for.
But I mean, she's looking for acceptance, and then she makes her body look like this. Yeah, this is going to go very well.
You know, at some point in your life, you get over the shit that caused you to do it in the first place. At some point, the penny drops, everything falls into place. And when that happens for her, I mean, I can get over this tattoo on my what is it, a wrist.
Yeah.
But for her, it's not going back.
There's better ways to deal with trauma, really. I could probably name a number of things. Like, go out, go for a run.
Oh, be careful now.
Then Bulela will be turned on by you if you go out for a run. That's what you have.
Well, no, it's not enough. You got to do it for 10 years. I mean, it doesn't take a year to get into shape. Really? So, sorry, you got to do it for 10 years. Oh, wow. Like, the thing is, we live till we're 75, 80 now. Like, what's the plan at 65?
What's she going to do when her horns start drooping? It's like 70.
Yeah, it's not. You're not going to find help on a Reddit group for that one.
No. Anyway, all right, some headlines while we're doing this stuff. Because it's not just the U Magazine story we've got to tell you about. It is No Politics Friday, though. Let's talk about the Proteas coach, who's, of course, Mark Boucher.
Oh, dear.
You remember him? Yeah, he's been charged with misconduct following racism allegations, and his job is now on the line. So let's see what he's supposed to have done. Proteas head coach Mark Boucher has been charged with gross misconduct by Cricket South Africa for his alleged role in the racial discrimination experienced by former national spinner Paul Adams. In a statement released on Thursday, Cricket South Africa confirmed that Boucher would meet with advocate Terry Mutau on the 26th of Jan to determine a timetable for the proceedings. Follows a social justice and nation building report. Wait, can you imagine what's in that piece of shit? I mean, I don't know whether Mark Boucher is guilty of racism or not, but I can promise you a social justice and nation building report from Cricket South Africa is bound to be a steaming pile of nonsense. Anyway, made all kinds of allegations of discrimination against various persons, including Boucher. They alleged that there was racism against him by his former Proteas teammate Adams. So hang on. Is this Boucher against Adams or Adams against Boucher? Thursday's statement also pointed to the fact that the charges against Boucher could lead to his dismissal. But they don't tell us what was meant to have happened. They don't give us any detail in this story about what did he, you know, use a pejorative racial term. Did he use the, you know, some word that we're not meant to use, or a K word or something like that? What do you think happened here? I mean, it gives us no detail whatsoever. But there are allegations of racism.
Tell us something, because we need to form our own opinions here.
Mm. You know? Do more. Racism's a big accusation.
Give us the goss.
Yeah, like they don't. I promise you, read through the article. There's nothing in here about what the details are.
Yeah, I watched it on the television as well.
Did they have any details?
Didn't get anything out of it. No.
Oh, what a stupid story! Like, until you can give us the actual story, that's a waste of time, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. In any case, can I also just say this? And this is going to be very controversial. But aren't these racism allegations things just, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel? I mean, you know, good old-fashioned racists are very, very hard to come by these days. You have to infer through someone's facial expressions while they're talking to someone of another race that maybe they might be a bit racist. you know, it's not like people are running around in white hoods and burning crosses and Avia beer badges on their shoulders. Or it's hard to find a real racist these days. We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. If we are trying to make Mark Boucher look like the arch wizard of the KKK, or am I missing something?
I don't know. I just think
Mountain Art racist.
I think in public,
a real solid racist. When did you last meet a proper racist?
a real solid oak.
I actually never have. It's always been through documentaries or on, you know, something,
although,
that you watch on YouTube.
I had a really weird experience. I went to an occasion recently, and we were just chatting. Like, there was an, you know, okay, cool, what do you do? Yeah, I'm in digital, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, people are chatting this and that, and then it just came up. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, my mom's a doctor. And this chick says, do you mean like a witch doctor? And I thought, but. Yeah, and I thought. But again, she's from a small town in Durban, right, on the south coast. It's like, luckily, I grew, like.
Oh no!
Yeah. So the problem with when
listen, she's more stupid. She's more stupid than Ray.
You know what it is? When whites come from small towns where they still say things like, yeah, like she went on to say, yeah, for a black guy, you're attractive a little bit later in the thing. It was it was a mess. Okay. But it's when whites come from the small towns. Yeah,
you've got a nice accent.
Thing, you know, Gareth, if you live in and around the blacks, I think less and less now, you know, our generation, it's less, yeah. It's when you come from the south coast of Durban where the only black people work at the shops and they do your garden and you can, you're probably saying that every day, it gets weird.
Mbulelo, I do think that girl, while embarrassing, and especially now that you've told us the story, I mean, it's embarrassing and it's awkward and it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it must have made you feel much more uncomfortable.
No, hilarious, because I know small town white people.
Yeah, you weren't genuinely offended. Like, you didn't leave the party feeling less valuable than you did coming in. And she didn't change your opinion of yourself. I know that.
Yeah.
But I think she's just ignorant. She's just dumb.
That's the thing for me.
She's not a racist. A racist is someone who hates black people.
Yeah.
It's because they're black, right? Let's remember what the term is. A racist is someone who looks at somebody from another race and judges them based only on that race and usually thinks there's an inferior or a superior thing going on, right? That's what a racist is.
I feel like you almost need to take the person out of that situation and expose her to the rest of the world in order her to form an opinion on whether or not she's racist. Whereas at the moment, she doesn't have that exposure. She's just, you know, being small town.
I think there's a very short supply of racism if we're looking for Mark Boucher to be like the, you know, the president of the Avia beer. No one is running around in the year 2022. No one is actively, certainly not publicly, they're not doing this because they've realized it's like the most uncool thing you can possibly be. And by uncool, I'm being obviously generous. You know, there are levels that descend below that. I mean, no one in the world's walking around with a swastika tattooed on them unless they're a neo-Nazi, and you can dismiss them as being a moron.
Yeah.
But I don't think.
And again, if you took those people out into the real world and sent them on a cultural trip throughout, you know, these culturally rich areas, and then gave them the chance to form an opinion and said to them after that, are you really racist?
Mm.
I think they may not be.
It's a tricky one for me because my mom, because I went through it the most, because in my generation, I tended to be the only black person in my circles. Mm. And it was quite common for guys to say things like, oh, that is, oh, what a kaffir, bro. Not like you, though. Not you. No.
Oh.
So it's a weird one for me because my mom always said, and I mean, I just have to tell you how it is, how I got raised, because my parents obviously went through it. It was like, so my mom's got a thing of, you're not allowed to be upset at things you expect. So for me, I'd always expected racism because I was prepared for it in the household. So it's never upset me because I was always ready for it. I'm like, oh, No, you're racist. Of course, I knew this would come. My mom prepared me from early on. But I do think, especially in places like where we live, and it really is in South Africa, more of an exposure thing. In Johannesburg, it's less likely to just be out and out. You know what I mean? When you get West Randy and you start to go to certain communities where they don't get exposed to black people with a little bit of salt. Jesus Christ, that's racist. Oh, my God.
We're getting too heavy down the racism road.
Yeah, let's hope Mark Boucher's not a racist. Anyway, that's, you know, the Proteas are winning.
You've actually said that before, where you were prepared.
Mm.
You've mentioned this before. Yeah.
It is what it is, guys. The human beings.
It's very much like the talk that black Americans have to have with their kids about the police.
Yeah.
You know, this is how you should behave. This is how you should not behave. When police are there, this is, you know.
I just want to.
I like this comment from Gail. She says, it's kind of like, you know, when people say, oh, you're gay. It's like, I don't know if Gail's gay or not, but she says,
well, it's
with
in
gay
the name.
People, she goes, they say things like, I must introduce you to Lisa. She's also gay. And it's like all the lesbians know each other, you know?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. And also, can I have a word with some white folks? Just because Tandy sounds like me, she's a black and she sounds like a what, doesn't mean we'd be good for each other, by the way. Like, can we stop doing that? Like, you got to meet Tandy. She's like you. What do you mean? what do you mean, Tandy?
Educated.
Yeah, she's like you. Yeah. She speaks like... Like, okay, does she like pickles? Because I like pickles. What's Tundi's, what are her dietary needs?
Like, there's an extreme to this on the other side, which is so off-putting. So, like, there are those whites who are trying so hard to not be racist that they kind of give away that they actually are.
Yeah, it's weird.
The ones who are, like, trying to show their, like, not their anti-racial credentials.
Yeah.
But I've been in the struggle for, like, you know, since it started, kind of thing. And there are those white women who, like, get dreadlocks and, like, date only black men to prove, like, that they're not racist. But you know what I mean?
You can do too much.
Oh, no.
There is doing too much. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, no.
It's the best.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
But we live in an awesome country, man. We do live in an awesome country.
Like they only have black friends. You go to their braai, and you're the only white person who pushes that
side. I've always said there's no one more black than a white person who's the black person. Like, a white guy who's into, like, hip-hop, and he only listens to that 90s hip-hop, only black girlfriends.
Eminem.
But it's awesome. It's awesome. Listen, we live in a tricky situation, but we've done a hell of a thing in this country without being funny, is that South Africa's done a hell of a thing considering how it's actually come about. Because it could have gone a way different direction in this country. Ooh. Way different. So, you know, pambili.
Well, somebody says, Welgemoot and Durbanville, Gareth. Take a drive there today in the northern suburbs. I'll show you around. Might change your opinion on meeting actual racists. Okay. I mean, maybe I just don't go into the neighborhoods where that stuff happens.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, if we're trying to find it in cricket South Africa, why don't you guys try to find winning before you start trying to find racism? How about that? It'd be nice if we found some winning. And I know they just recently won something, so I'm treading on very delicate territory here. But I'm sorry, by and large, the last couple of years have not delivered all the laurel wreaths that cricket South Africa require for me to be taking them seriously. And, you know, they can drive out all the bad racists in the world, but they'll still be a shitty cricket organization and administered badly. So why don't you focus on your what do they call it? Your meat and potatoes.
Yeah, your KPRs. Hey, listen, ultimately, I just want to have a wetty with the boys. You know what I mean? Black Axe, Indian Axe. Let's just go hang out.
I haven't heard the term wetty since I was married to someone from the East.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right.
Eat of all.
Guys, here's that. Shivesh says, please leave Nina Hasty alone. Yeah. Nina's one of those.
Yeah, she's doing the most.
I think if someone called Nina a racist, she would actually crumble into dust in front of them.
Yeah.
It just would ruin everything. She's worked so hard in her life. Anyway, so a lot of comments coming through here. Aish, Gareth, you'll be in the news being taken out of context for being racist. These morons that don't listen to you. Fatiswa, you know what? What am I going to do? Don't worry about it. Unless you're going to take Gareth to find Margot, he's not going with you. Yeah, that's about right. That's very important. All right. Very good. We've got lots of other good stuff still to come, including a discussion with someone called Temba Robin, who I'm very excited to have on the show, an MC, actor, voice artist, content creator, also a seasoned quiz master, having run Josie's biggest quiz night of over 200 people weekly. You might recognize him from about 20 TV ads that he's been on, all from his cameo appearances in two separate Netflix series. So a very accomplished human being, this Temba Robin. Also created the hilarious viral Car Guard video, which you might have seen. And he can even sing the Richelieu song, that's if Ed Sheeran was South African, and some other stuff too. So we're going to have a lot of fun with Temba Robin in just a little while. I'm very excited to meet him properly on the show this morning. And let me quickly tell you, the podcast of the week is with Waterfall this week. You know, Waterfall Estate, Waterfall Smart City, as they call it. The idea of a smart city and where citizens' lives are improved by the application of technology, planning, and sustainability is fast becoming a global reality. This week's podcast of the week is episode one of season three of the Waterfall podcast series. Your host, Spike Ballantyne, and his guests look at the ideas and technologies that smart cities are built on and discover how Waterfall is incorporating these and other smart city concepts here at home. Plus, they provide a taste of what to expect from future episodes and obviously from the future, because that's how we're going to live one of these days. Smart cities, these small managed areas, you know, it's beautiful.
I'm in the process at the moment.
Small, by the way.
Yeah. I'm in the process at the moment of looking at, for places to live. Mm-hmm. And it's quite fun and exciting. And, you know, you get onto the apps and you search the areas. And if I had no ties to family and other things within mm-hmm. where I live, yeah, that would be a very attractive option.
Well, so it's magnificent. I mean, you drive through there and it's just, you know, they do the roads themselves. They do the electricity supply themselves. They do the internet, you know, fiber layout themselves. They have schools and hospitals and parks and shopping malls and pretty much everything. Like, if Waterfall was completely disconnected from the rest of Johannesburg, they'd still be okay. Like, they could put a wall right the way around Waterfall and leave the rest of us out, and they'd be self-contained. Everybody could just work and play and live and do all the things they need to do within the confines of that space, and it would be perfectly adequate. You'd live very happily, thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's really magnificent.
It really is.
If you've been in there, you know what we're talking about. But listen to the episode, and then you'll see what we mean. And while we're talking about podcasts, we have a brand new show starting on Cliff Central today at 9 a.m. And I think you're going to like this. It's called Leadership Books Unpacked. So it's presented by Amanda Chifularo, who's the CEO of Superlead, superlead.co.za, a strategy, operations, and leadership consulting firm. Every week, Amanda will dissect one business and or leadership book that he has chosen. And the books include, but will not be limited to, must-read business books for upping your game in 2021, from Forbes, a number of books on Amazon, obviously some of the must-read business books from an African perspective, and that's all from Superlead's own African business book list. So lots of that happening this morning. You can listen live today at 9 a.m. or get the podcast later, whichever way you prefer to listen, and wherever you listen, on our app, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever it might be most convenient for you. So that's Leadership Books Unpacked. So if you're interested in particularly business books, then that might be a show that you want to check out this morning. How cool is that?
That is awesome.
Very good. Very helpful.
Before we leave, I mean, Gareth and Leanne, you guys are a massive deal in South African history. Is that, I don't know why you guys haven't taken me to your friends who live in Waterfall. Maybe introduce me to those people. You know what I mean? I'm looking to upgrade the level of my living at the moment. Imagine I'm having lunch.
I promise I don't know anyone there.
Oh, okay. Sad.
I can take you to go. You know who lives there? I can go and make an appointment for us to go and have lunch with Tito Mboweni. You want to go there for that?
Ah, fancy.
Tito.
That's what we can do.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah.
He's an interesting man.
Plug me in.
All right. All right. Then let's do it.
I'll come along as your arm candy.
Yeah. Yes. And you know who else we've got to take is this woman.
Oh, yes.
Vampire woman. That's who we got to take.
That's exactly it.
All right. Very good. All right, it is 7 o'clock. We will be back with that, a whole lot more, and Tembo Robin, who's going to join us in a little while. Plenty of good stuff to get to cliffcentral.com on a Friday morning. Stick around. There's more to come.
Cliffcentral.com.